The woman who wrote that hymn, Jane Bonar, wrote it upon the death of her beloved husband. I love thinking about that. Her husband dies and she says, "Fade, fade each earthly joy. Jesus is mine." Hebrews chapter 10. Let me remind you that verse that I read to open this service. The wicked flee when no man pursues. They're paranoid. They're afraid. They don't have any confidence. But the righteous are bold as a lion. You think of the boldness of a lion as he walks through the forest. Perhaps a baboon comes across his path. And those things scare me to death. I've watched them on those nature programs. They seem so mean. Lion's not worried about it. He knows he has no enemies. He has no fears. He's the king of the forest. Now, the righteous. There are two kinds of people, the wicked and the righteous. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, something all of us desire to have is confidence. Confidence. Lack of confidence is paralyzing. When you lack confidence in your ability to do something, you generally just don't do anything. You're paralyzed. You're afraid to. Unconfident people quite often are unhappy and fearful people. Quite often, an unconfident person will try to compensate for his lack of confidence, and it comes out as arrogance. And this creates all kinds of problems for that person. It makes that person disliked. And all it is a cover-up for lack of confidence. You put a man in a job that he feels unable to do, and that man is miserable if he feels like he can't do it or he doesn't know how to do it. Put him in a position where he doesn't know how to do the task, and he is one unhappy person. But when you're confident, what a blessing that is to have some confidence. You don't look at others as a potential threat to you. You know you can do the job. It's a wonderful feeling, confidence. Lack of confidence is unhappiness, and a confident person is happy, and we all desire to be confident people. Now look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness, confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now this is something that every believer has. He doesn't say we ought to have it. He doesn't say we don't have it. He says we have it. He's speaking to all of those who come under the umbrella of brethren. Everybody who believes. Having, brethren, boldness. Confidence. Now this word carries with it two ideas. First, boldness of speech. Freedom of speech. You don't weigh your words through fear of offending somebody. You put it out there. You speak without ambiguity. And the second meaning of this word is absence of fear. Cheerful courage. Confidence. Now the writer to the Hebrews says to every believer, having therefore, brethren, confidence. Boldness. How can this be understood in light of this passage of Scripture? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 3 of Philippians chapter 3, "For we are the circumcision." These fellows that talk about circumcision, they don't even know what it means. We are the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. We realize that the only way we can worship the living God is by the Holy Spirit of God. It doesn't simply mean we worship in a spiritual manner. It means we worship by the Spirit of God. There is no other way to worship. And we rejoice, we glory in, is what the word means. We have confidence in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. None whatsoever. Now this confidence we have, having therefore, brethren, boldness, confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, this confidence has absolutely nothing to do with our flesh. Anything we do in this flesh, we have no confidence in. Now, back to our text in Hebrews chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Now, what's the therefore for? What's the therefore there for? It's referring to what he said previously. He says in verse 14, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." By his one offering on Calvary's tree, he made me perfect. He did this before I was ever around, so obviously it didn't have anything to do with my flesh. By that one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are being sanctified, them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost, verse 15, is a witness to us, for after he said before, "This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now, where remission of these is, and that's what our Lord did. He put them away. They are no more. Where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. I don't have... This is what makes me lose my confidence, is my sin. You see, the righteous that are as bold as a lion, where does this boldness come from? Righteousness. I'm righteous. That's, if you're righteous, you don't have to worry about sin. Sin is what destroys our confidence. But the righteous are bold as a lion. In Christ, I am righteous. And this is where this confidence comes from. There is no reason for a lack of confidence because I have no sin. Where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Now, this is the confidence of faith. The Scripture says faith is the substance or the confidence of things hope for. The confidence of faith is not self-confidence. It's Christ's confidence. There's all the difference in the world. It's the faith Abraham possessed when it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, how much did that have to do with Abraham's flesh? None at all. He was confident of this very thing, that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 6. "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end?" If we hold the confidence of the hope and the rejoicing of the hope. Now remember, faith is confidence in things hoped for. That's what the Scripture calls it. It's the evidence of things. It's the substance or the confidence of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Now, here's something I hope for. I hope that when I stand before God in judgment, He's going to look me through and through And he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I have a hope that before God, I am righteous and without sin." Now, I've got a hope. But you know what? I can't see that hope. I can't look within myself and say, "Well, you are righteous. What is the evidence that I had this hope?" Faith in Christ. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, you can't see that I'm righteous before God, but I am. And the evidence of that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We hold the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. We never leave this. Christ is my hope. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. I love this verse of Scripture. Now, every believer in this room, I mean even the newest believer, the most immature babe in Christ, has reason to have this holy boldness, this confidence. This isn't just for more mature believers. This is what every believer can have. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, "In whom? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus." This is where this boldness and confidence come from. In whom? In the Lord Jesus Christ. "Of Him are you in Christ Jesus." Before I read it, let me repeat this verse. "Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." In Christ, I'm so wise that God can have fellowship with me. In Christ, I'm so righteous that God can embrace me. In Christ, I'm so holy, I'm as holy as God's Son. In Christ, I've got redemption. Full deliverance. Now, this is where this confidence comes from. In whom? In whom we have boldness, freedom of entrance. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. I've got faith in His faith. I'm resting in His faithfulness. And here's the confidence I have. This is my access. And that's what that, we have access. That's freedom of entrance. Here's where my freedom of entrance and access comes from. If I'm in Christ, when He goes to the Father, I do too. If He's welcomed by the Father, I am too. If He's pleasing to the Father, I am too. So when He comes into the Father's presence, which is all the time, I do too. Now, this is my boldness. He comes into the Father's presence. The Father looks at Him and says, "I'm well pleased with you. You're perfect. You're holy." I come in, and that's how I am. Access with confidence. Knowing Christ is always welcomed by the Father. He has freedom of access. I do too. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. We looked at this verse this morning. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 16. "And we have known and believed." And a just as good a translation of that would be, "we've relied upon." We've relied upon. We've trusted. This is where we're hoping. "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Now, we've known and believed the love that God has to us. We've trusted in the love that God has to us. The love that God has to me. Now, let me say this. God's love, and I've used this phrase in the past, and I'll never use it again by the grace of God. God's love is not unconditional love. There's no such thing as unconditional love. If God could love you unconditionally, He could quit loving you unconditionally. You see, for there to be love, there has to be something there to love. Now, in Christ, I'm lovely. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I deserve the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks at me and He looks at me. He says, "I can't help but love Him. Look at him. Look at him. He's lovely. He looks just like my son. He's in my son. You see, this is not unconditional love. I don't have any confidence in unconditional love. Now, we have known and understood the love that God has toward us. We've relied upon, we've trusted this love. It doesn't just mean we believe He loves us. It means this is what we're relying on. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm graced. I'm accepted. God accepts me. One of the most ridiculous things that religion ever says is, won't you accept God or won't you accept Jesus? That's so ridiculous. That's not the issue. Will you accept Him? Will He accept you? Every believer is accepted in the Beloved. This is how real this thing of being united to Christ is. Now, let's go on reading. Here in verse 16, we've known and believed the love that God hath for us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, confidence in the day of judgment. Hold on for a second. Boldness, courage, cheerful courage on the day of judgment? Me? Me? Standing before God in judgment with boldness? Look at me. I've committed sin against God, transgressing His law. And the same sins. Over and over again, repeatedly, I'm filled with such contradictions and inconsistencies. Me. And I know what I'm saying about myself is true. And I'm not saying it as accurately as I should. Me stand before God in judgment with boldness, cheerful confidence and courage, absence of fear in light of what I just said about myself. Well, let's read the rest of the verse. I guess I quote this real often, but I'm not getting tired of it. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, cheerful confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is. Well, how is He? Holy. Perfect. Seated at the right hand of God, altogether righteous, altogether lovely. Oh, the Father looks at Him and He's well pleased. Now, as He is, so are we in this world. That means right now. Now, if that's so, and it is, this one speaking to you can have boldness before God on the day of judgment. Have you ever had to take an exam when you have no confidence that you'll pass? A test? Or have you taken a test where you had confidence that you did well and you found out that confidence was an ill-founded, an ill-grounded confidence when the test came back? You didn't do what you thought you would do. You got a lot of answers wrong that you thought you were right. Or perhaps you've gone into tests. I've gone into a lot of tests like this. No confidence that I knew the answer. I didn't know the answer. And you feel so miserable. It takes forever, and it's a bad feeling, isn't it? To take a test where you don't feel confident about it. But what if you could take a test where you had the paper with all the answers, and they were right, and you turned it in, and it wasn't cheating? A+ is what you get. Now that is the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We already have the answer. Christ is all. And we turn in this answer that God has given us, and we're not accused of cheating. It's real. It's the very truth of God. Now this confidence that a believer has, and it's a confidence in Him, isn't it? I do have confidence that He's all I need. I have confidence that I don't need anything else. I have confidence that I am complete in Him and nothing can be added to that. Now, I have confidence in Him. And this confidence comes from being with Him. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Now remember, this confidence has two meanings, both of which are included in this thing of having this boldness that the Scripture speaks of. First, this confidence does mean a cheerful confidence and a courage and an absence of fear. But it also affects our speech. It means you speak without ambiguity. You speak without having to weigh your words from a deep conviction of the facts. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they heard them speak, and they saw a holy boldness. There was an absence of fear. They weren't weighing their words. I hate to hear a preacher preach when you can't even figure out what he's saying. I mean, you could take it this way or you could take it that way, but he didn't have the courage or the boldness or the belief in what he was preaching to really lay it out on the line. So he makes it so you, it might mean this and might mean that. God's not in that. God's not in any preaching like that. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They were amazed and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now here's where this boldness comes from. Being with the Lord Jesus Christ. If I believe I'm with Him and He's protecting me, you know what? I'll be bold. And this boldness comes out in our speech. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is asking the Ephesians to pray for him. And he says in verse 19, and for me, pray for me. And I'm asking you to do the same thing for me. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now I realize that unless the Lord enables me to preach the gospel boldly, I won't preach the gospel boldly. I realize that. I'll be afraid of men. So pray for me, but understand that no ifs, ands, but pray for me that the Lord will enable me to preach the gospel with boldness. And I pray for you that the Lord will make you bold witnesses. Now what is this boldness? It means we're not weighing our words, we're laying it out. The Bible is the Word of God. Believe this message and be saved. Don't believe and be damned. Now that's the truth. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. God is absolutely sovereign. That means He's the first cause behind everything. He controls. Men are dead in sins. Dead. Graveyard dead. Can't do anything to save themselves. God elected a people before time began to be saved. Christ died for the elect and accomplished their salvation. God's grace is irresistible. He causes His people to do His will. He comes in irresistible grace and gives life. And because of that, they persevere walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. They persevere in holiness and obedience and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God. You see, grace works. Grace works. There's a bold proclamation of the truth. Not apologizing for it. Not trying to bring it in a way that you can take it one way or the other. No, they're boldness in our speech. And this confidence or this boldness is something that has to be maintained. Look in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. This word's in the Bible a whole lot. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him. Stay in Him. That's what Paul meant when he said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him." Now, this is what I want. This is my desire, simply to stay in the Lord Jesus Christ and not be found anywhere else. I don't want to be judged about my boldness or my faith or my repentance or my love. There's one place I want to be found, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He says, you abide in Him. You stay right there. That's the only place I have any confidence in Him. I don't have any confidence anywhere else, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Now, the only way that I will not be ashamed before Him at His coming is if I'm simply found in Him. Don't have any confidence in anything else. And you know, there's great reward in this confidence. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Don't you want to have this boldness? This confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what the writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Where does it say, cast out? Hebrews 10, I'm sorry, wrong chapter. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, your boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. You know, there is reward in this thing of confidence. I mean, there's great recompense of reward. Now, this is one of the glorious things about the Lord. He gives us this confidence, and He rewards us as though it came from us. He gives us faith, and He rewards it as though He never gave it to us, it was ours. He gives us this love, and He rewards us as if it came from us. And in fact, we are the one loving. We are the one believing. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't believe for me, I believe myself. The Holy Spirit doesn't repent for me, I repent. But I know the only reason I do it is because He caused me to do it. And what great reward there is in this confidence. First, heaven. Peace. What peace there is in knowing that Christ is my confidence. What joy there is in knowing that as He is, so am I in this world. Oh, this confidence, this boldness, there's great recompense of reward. You know, if you have this confidence in Christ, let me tell you what it's going to do to you. If you have this confidence in Christ, it's going to make you give yourself lock, stock, and barrel to Him. Lack of commitment comes from lack of confidence. When I see people who are always wavering, you just wonder about them. Their life seems to just, you don't know where they're coming from. The root problem they have is lack of confidence in the Redeemer. If you're really confident in Him, it'll make you committed to Him. It'll make you walk with Him. It'll make you seek to obey Him in all things. That's what this confidence does. It doesn't make you turn into, well, I'm saved, doesn't matter how I live. No, not at all. Not this faith. It makes you committed to Him. And there's great reward in this confidence. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16. Let us, every believer, let us therefore come boldly with cheerful confidence unto the throne of grace. How come? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, how am I to come to this throne of grace? Remember, I'm coming to a throne. This is the Lord God. But thank God it's a throne of grace. How am I to come? Boldly. With confidence. What for? To obtain mercy. And to find grace to help. And I need grace to help, don't you? I need grace to help me believe. I need grace to help me have boldness. I need grace to help me in all things. Now, when do we come? In time of need. I don't know of any time that's not a time of need, do you? That means I come all the time. With boldness, coming to this throne of grace where my great Redeemer dispenses grace to help me in my time of need. Now, the last scripture I want to look at is Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 15. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. My soul, what do you have? You have Christ. What else needs to be said? You have His grace. You have the promise of His providence. You have God for you. Who can be against you? You have all the gift of His grace. You have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. What is there to covet? Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, that's His promise. And in the original, there are five negatives. To make sure we understand what He's saying, He says, I will never, never, no, never, never, never leave thee nor forsake thee. We sing that song, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to His foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Now He has promised, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man can do unto me. Now this is what made that lady who sang that song at the first of this Fade each earthly joy. She believed, the Lord's my helper. And I will not fear what man can do unto me. So when her husband's dead, she says, Fade each earthly joy. Jesus is mine. What else could anybody say? Let's pray.